Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for staying, for coming, and to have a touch of exotism by hearing about African cotton. Okay, my name is Michel Fauque. I'm coming from CIRAD, which is a French public research center devoted to tropical and subtropical areas. We are having cooperation projects in about 50 countries in the world. Myself, I'm involved in projects in several African countries, in China and in South America. This first presentation is dealing with African cotton. You have heard how what is the economic importance of cotton is for these African countries. I'm not elaborating about that. Today I'm talking about my contribution is to help understand how the cotton sectors have evolved in these African countries and try to better understand so as to guide the reforms these sectors have embarked for several years now. This is an attempt to mobilize a theory from the domain of industrial world, namely the economics of a network. And I believe that this could be of interest for many countries where the state still plays an important role in coordinating the cotton sector. You all know, I guess, what network of services are, since that we all are clients of these kinds of networks in water supply, energy supply, telecommunication, and so on. And in many countries, these supplies have been operated by public monopoles for a long time, and which have been reformed or deregulated in many countries, I guess in European countries, and leading to questionable outcomes. And this is exactly the case also for the African cotton sectors. All networks of services do have common features in terms of morphology and in terms of also of operation criteria or features. These networks do have three-layer morphology and five functional criteria. I will elaborate shortly about the first three ones. The two other ones about state role regulation is sufficiently obvious. In all network of service, the low layer pertains to infrastructures for production of services or goods, cutting open expensive equipment with important economies of scale, and the high layer correspond to the supply of final services or products very diversified to clients, and the intermediate layer is to make the production and the supply of services maybe if you think about water supply, energy supply, you can figure out what these layers are. Now, to help you understand why I think that cotton sectors in Africa do show similarities with these networks of services, I'm providing you with very basic information on how cotton is being produced in Africa. Cotton production pre-existed before the colonization time. Promotion through the colonization time started since the mid-19th century, but cotton has been actually developed since the 1920s to 50s, according to countries. Production derived from small-holding farmers with very tiny farms. Farms or families are grouped in villages, tens to hundreds, depending to locations. And these villages are very scattered and very badly interconnected through an insufficient road and track network. So this is a presentation of what the cotton sector organization was somehow by the 1950s. A unique cotton company having infrastructures to process, to gin, and to transport, hiring its own personnel staff to be in connection with individual farmers, providing them technical information, providing them inputs, and marketing back their seed cotton. Since the 1970s, the relationships between the cotton companies and the farmers have been extended a lot through two processes. One is the externalization of the seed cotton marketing and also the management of the input credit, which are both totally managed by farmers' groups or producing villages. And the second point was a diversification of the services, assistance to food production, assistance to women in the villages, and maybe the more interesting fact was the conduct of adult literacy program for practical purposes to help farmers to get command in marketing cotton, seed cotton, and in managing input credit. And you must know that this program was at the basis of the training of the farmers' leaders, in particular those who spoke out in Cancun against the subsidies. All the farmers at that place have benefited from this adult literacy program. So this is a little change in the organization of the cotton sectors, still a unique national cotton company which has become bigger, more infrastructures, maybe more staff as well, but more interesting is the emergence of a collective entity at the farmers' level who are benefited from many types of services and who may get paid for that and who are marketing by themselves their seed cotton. And by taking over these services, instead of suffering from a transaction cost, this transaction cost has turned to be negative or to become an income to farmers. So it's quite clear that we do find this three-layer morphology in the cotton sectors since the 1960s. I'm summarizing what these layers are. Now let me move to some operational features within these cotton sectors. Maybe you know what club ethics are, likely you are somehow members of various clubs. The more you are in a club, the more services you may expect and at a lower cost. And the example I mentioned about the reversal of the transaction cost is a very good illustration of the positive and direct club effect African cotton growers have benefited from the development of this cotton network or cotton club. There were also indirect and positive club effects in the area of food extension of rural tracts connecting more villages or hamlets. In terms of production synergies, which means that making use of the same assets to provide more services or more products, we have also very clear example. The cotton companies in many African countries have proved to be the more efficient in helping farmers to market their food crops in addition to their cotton. And more interesting also is that the same staff, the same extension staff, has been trained to provide technical information or social advices to villages, to women, or even to youngsters. And for the international funders who have back funded this new service provision, the rationale was without setting a specific staff, it was possible to deliver very quickly more welfare services to farmers. Now, in terms of cross subsidies, you know what it is in the cotton case. The fact that you have only a unique price nationwide is an indication of a cross subsidies between farmers wherever they are. And in spite of using various types of insecticides, whose acquisition prices are quite different, farmers are paying only one unique price for these inputs. So this is an illustration of cross subsidies between inputs being supplied to them. Now, very quickly, about the dynamics of the networks, which have the outcomes are quite clear now through the development of a very simple model based on the assessment of the functioning cost of networks according to the size of the networks, and by maximizing the utility of the club members, but with two options: maximizing the individual member utility or maximizing the whole collective utility from the whole membership. So these kind of models lead to these representations, these charts that I'm not going to elaborate. Just notice that this helps to identify four distinct sizes which correspond to four distinct phases in the development of networks, and for which the role of the state could be different. The first size is a critical size. It could not be any, there's not any effective network without overpassing a critical size, and public intervention is necessary, is compulsory to help reach this critical size. The second phase corresponds to reaching the private optimum. The public intervention is not necessary, but it does help to grow far much quicker. The third phase corresponds to a public optima to reach, and in this case, public intervention is also compulsory. The fourth case is the public intervention is called upon in case that the government is concerned by not excluding any people from getting into cotton production. So, summarizing, we realized through this theory that state role is necessary in building up network, and through namely a regulation role, and in the cotton case, through the allocation of monopoly. And these regulation role often has lasted more than anticipated to help establish large and powerful networks. The fact is, after more than 15 years of deregulation of networks in various branches, we observe that even within the deregulation process, the state still has its role to play in particular to preserve some positive functioning features, namely to preserve club ethics, and in this case it is quite important to maintain the interdependence of the three layer morphology. Of course, if one has the concern of providing membership to anyone, to anywhere, then the regulation is furthermore important. And another important role in regulation is to prevent from harsh competition between the private operator, not to lead them to invest in infrastructures because it would mean wastage of costly investment. So to conclude very quickly, this is the first attempt to apply industrial economics to agriculture. The reform, it comes out according to this theory that the reform of cotton sectors in Africa must take the sizes of these cotton sectors into account. Therefore, reform must be reasoned according to the sizes of the cotton sectors. Unfortunately, that was not the case, and that's still not the case in a few countries. Deregulation still needs regulation, so state does has a role to play to preserve the advantages all the independence of the three layers that I mentioned earlier. Thank you for attention.